Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Now, that comment in there about going from Cleveland to Canton is what Browns general manager Andrew Berry has said, that there would be no stops in between, that he intended for Myles Garrett to be drafted a Cleveland Brown and to end his career as a Cleveland Brown. That has been the stance of the organization. Go back to the trading deadline. We reported that teams were interested in possibly trading for Garrett, and the Browns were adamant they were not going to trade him. They would not entertain offers, and they didn't at the time. My understanding is, despite this statement, the Browns are sticking to their stance, and they do not intend to have any conversations or trade Garrett.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI. Are you
get the Patriots all set and ready, Keith? You ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
Big offseason.
Huge offseason. Maybe the biggest offseason this team has ever seen. No, it's hyperbole, but it's not the biggest offseason.
It's up there.
It's a big offseason.
It is.
You know, post-Brady was a big offseason. That didn't go great.
No.
Post-Bill, big offseason. Didn't go great.
Why? They brought everybody back. That didn't work out?
No.
No, okay.
No. They got worse at coach, and then they just had all the same players. So you can imagine how that went. But no, now it's a new time. It's a new era in Patriots football. We think they're going to spend money. We don't know if they will. We know they should. And they have essentially an all-new coaching staff. So it is a big offseason. They got the number 4 pick. Not as good as the number 1 pick.
No.
But it's, you know, it's not bad. So you got that. And how are they going to turn this around? How are they going to have a Washington Commanders-like 4-wins-1-season conference championship next season type of thing? How are they going
to
do it?
Well, there's a lot of different avenues to pursue for the Patriots. We're already starting to hear some names on the trade market. We talked a lot about Myles Garrett.
Yeah, juicy trade market already.
Yesterday, we'll get more into Myles Garrett today, what it would take to get him. I think we have more insight on that, despite right off the top, Mike Garofolo saying the Browns aren't going to move him.
I bet they do.
Something tells me they're going to move him. Yeah. Cooper Kupp's name also out there on the trade market. That's a name we've talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks. You could jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It's a busy Tuesday. It's a tier Tuesday.
Huge today.
We'll get into some eats at the Super Bowl, at your Super Bowl party snacks. We'll get to Tom Curran at high noon, a Tom E Tuesday here on WEEI, plus Kiefer Madness at 12:45. All your phone calls on fixing the Patriots, rebuilding the Patriots, and lessons we can learn from the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We mentioned those names, Myles Garrett, Cooper Kupp among them. What can we learn, and maybe those names tie into it, what can we learn from the roster building of the two teams here in Super Bowl 59, meeting up Sunday in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles? What jumps out there, Keith?
All right, so which team do you want to look at first? Because I think if you want to break down either one.
Which one jumps out to you?
Do you want to go with, let's go with the Eagles first.
Okay.
So the Eagles have hit on a lot of their draft picks recently, and so that's a good sign, but not all of their draft picks. And so one thing that jumps out to me, and I know I'm very wide receiver obsessed, but they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, which is as bad as it is. As much as we make fun of all the guys after N'Keal Harry, Jalen Reagor right before Justin Jefferson is insane. Like, that is one of the all-time whiffs. But they didn't double down. They didn't, like, try to make it happen. They didn't say, oh, well, you know, we're never going to do that again. They then followed that up by using first-round picks again on wide receivers. DeVonta Smith was a first-rounder of their own, and then they traded a first-rounder for A.J. Brown. And so now, even though they have this great running game, they are set at wide receiver. They have two legitimate wide receivers. Their quarterback they drafted, now second round, different than Drake May early first round, but a second round guy that they developed and now has been pretty good. They add in free agency Saquon Barkley, who had 2,000 yards in one of the great running back seasons of all time. So as much as we say, hey, the free agent class isn't great and you need to look via trade, maybe a position like running back is one that teams are afraid that the second contract, they don't want to give a lot of money to those guys. And you might be able, like, you know, Baltimore, Derrick Henry, and Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley, they got unbelievable years from running backs that were just out there for everybody. So I look at this model where I say, I'm not going free agency for wide receivers. T. Higgins may be an exception, but I'm more likely trading for wide receivers. And then maybe you add a running back in free agency and you go from there. And then we get into like what they did defensively. But it's the skill position guys around Jalen Hurts that really jump out to me.
So when I look at both these teams, and Philly's included in this, when I look at these teams, and I will entertain this now that we think you have the quarterback in place. Robert Kraft would say you have two of them in
maybe
place.
You have two quarterbacks.
Assuming you're not trading Joe Milton for Miles Garrett. Now that you have the quarterback in place, I'll entertain the lines discussion, the trenches discussion.
They got some big fellas up front.
I mean, you look at both these teams, and I think if you really want to get into the roster building of the Chiefs and the Eagles, you look at the hosses they have, Keith, on both sides of the ball. Jalen Carter, Chris Jones, you know, Lane Johnson, the investment.
Joe Tooney,
the Chiefs have made in the offensive line. Exactly. I think it's fair to look at it and go, along the lines, these teams are both spectacular. The Eagles defense, I think, is very underrated, very slept on. The Chiefs defense, I think we know at this point in time, they didn't even score 30 in a game until the AFC title game against Buffalo, and they still won 15 games this year. Mm-hmm. And they really only lost one real game. So I think that's the lesson in the team building. Even before you get to layering the roster with wide receivers and adding Saquon Barkley, like, I'd put the quarterback above all else. I would say the biggest reason the Chiefs have gone to another level from Alex Smith, even with Andy Reid and everything else, is Mahomes. I think that's self-evident. I think Jalen Hurts is a good, not great quarterback. And so you start with the QB, and then you start to fill it out around him. I think it's fair to say the trenches are where the Patriots are lacking and where these two teams would have a massive, massive advantage over the Pats, and they could invest in it. I think the problem with that approach is that's going to be slow. I think that's going to be a slow rebuild. Like, I don't think you just add Abdul Carter at four.
Well, we legit had a caller yesterday, and he might be right with the timetable, but it just seems like it is too slow, where he's like, you got to beef up the trenches for 2 years, then add the receivers. I'm like, oh, my God, so now Drake May is going to be in his walk year when you finally get players around him?
I think that might be the right way to build it. Looking at the Chiefs, looking at the Eagles, they invest in their lines all the time, whether it's free agency with the Chiefs and the O-line. You know, you mentioned Tooney, some of the guys they brought in. Whether it's the Eagles, they drafted it over years and years and years, the defensive lines as well. But how long does that take? And how long do you want to wait it out? And I just wonder if the Patriots have the stomach for that. I wonder if the fan base really has the stomach for that. I probably don't. I'm not a patient man. I probably don't have the patience to do it. So I'm probably going to fall into the shiny object and try for a quicker rebuild and cut some corners. I would say, looking at these two teams, though, I am probably more comfortable with the Abdul Carters of the world, the Mason Grahams of the world. I probably am more comfortable if they want to draft it, or even Will Campbell on the offensive line. I'm probably more comfortable looking at these two teams saying, all right, you want to start that rebuild and start to rework the trenches, doing it with the number four pick. You may not be up here again. Hopefully you won't be up here again, even though we were saying that about Drake May a year ago.
Sure.
Hopefully you won't be up here a year again. Get that stud prospect to get yourself a Chris Jones, or get yourself, you know, in the case of the Eagles, a Lane Johnson or something like that on either side of the ball. While you're up here, I'm a little more open to that, looking at these two teams in the Super Bowl.
So looking at it, I could be wrong on this, but a quick glance, the starting offensive lines combined only have two first-round picks. I don't think Kansas City has any first-round picks on their offensive line.
So Johnson, but they invested a lot in free agency. But
yeah, they did. Creed, and like Joe Tooney's a great
Creed lineman, Humphrey was a, what, a second round pick.
Yeah,
some of the guys they brought in, and they've drafted young guys. They weren't highly picked.
So Kansas City's been able to kind of put it together. You're right. They invested in it, and I think what happened was they got to the Super Bowl a few years ago, lost to Tom Brady and that defense that just destroyed them. They said, all right, we can't let that happen again. And so they've invested a lot of money, but a lot of it was guys that they identified from around the league and brought them in. Philadelphia, they have 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and I think a 7th-rounder on their starting offensive line. You know, we did this same exercise for Detroit, also a great offensive line. I think they have like 4 first-round picks on their line. So, yeah, I mean, that can be the smart play. And that's the other issue you run into when you're the Patriots. You have so many needs. You can only draft, if you stay at 4, you can only take 1 player. And even if you trade down, how many picks are you getting? And then you need to hit on all of those picks. Now, one thing I feel a little bit better about is Doug Marrone, offensive line coach. And then the report yesterday that Dante Scarnecchia is like willing to work with these guys too.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like in a consulting role, not like officially on staff, but like
maybe he pops into a couple practices or something like that, or weighs in
consultant role. Yeah, I mean, how could it hurt? Sure.
Now the talent was so bad last year that even if Dante was there from the start to the end, I can't imagine how much better they would have been. Probably better, but would they have been like, hey, no problem here? Like, I don't think so. You know, even Dante in the years that he had couldn't get everybody to look like an unbelievable lineman. But yeah, they got issues there because even if everybody's healthy, you like 2 guys. And I mean, how many years can you think David Andrews is going to start the season, finish the season? What position is Mike Onwenu? Like they got their work cut out for them on the offensive line. The draft, though, is not the worst spot, right? Now that you have the quarterback in a quarterback draft, you didn't put that off to this year. Then you would have been like, oh, crap. Now who do they take? But it might be time to invest in the offensive line, and I mean like 1st, 2nd, 3rd round picks rather than later.
That's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you have the patience for it? Because that's not going to all click in 1 year. That's not going to be overhauled in one night.
You can take a Cole Strange,
correct,
you know, and that didn't fix anything.
Your offensive and your defensive line aren't going to get fixed in one offseason. They're not. You can make big strides, but adding an offensive lineman here, even highly drafted, defensive lineman there, you're making big steps. Are you fixing everything overnight? Do you have the stomach for that? And what lessons can you learn from the Chiefs and the Eagles the way they built their rosters? 617-779-7937. Now, I was reading Phil Perry yesterday on the Myles Garrett discussion. We had a lot of this yesterday.
Yeah.
Already in the Twitch chat. Oh, they're not going to get Myles Garrett. He wouldn't come here. Maybe not. I mean, he wants to win is what he said. He also probably wants a new deal.
I would imagine he also wants money.
And he's not a free agent. So you can force the Browns' hand on that one, call his bluff, see if he'll come here and hold out. He could pull a Hassan Reddick. He could. Phil Perry is hearing it's going to take the 4th overall pick plus more to get Myles Garrett.
I really like Myles Garrett, and he's one of the 3 best defensive players in the NFL now, and I think he will be for the next, call it 3 years. I'm not trading the 4th pick for him. I'm not. I don't think anybody can really top that. I think that's obviously what you ask for if you're Cleveland.
Can I play devil's advocate on it? Because the 4th round pick sounds high. 4th overall pick sounds high. It is a poor draft, right? Like everybody universally says it's a poor draft. So is it really the 4th round pick or 4th overall pick rather compared to other years? And what's the value of the 4th overall pick this year versus the 4th overall pick a year ago, 2 years from now, etc.? If it's a down draft, isn't that the year to trade your pick?
I think a down draft probably applies more to second half of the 1st round and beyond. I think if 2 quarterbacks go in the top 3, you're still talking about Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, who I think even in a good draft wouldn't wait too long to get picked. So I think that still has a decent amount of value, right? And, you know, it's contingent on these quarterbacks going and pushing down the other position players on the board, but yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not saying, you know, there's no way in hell you do it because Myles Garrett is that good. But I'd rather hold on to the 4th pick, and for a couple of reasons. One, you either get a really good player there who's under team control for a long time, and you still have, let's hope, this big, you know, salary, this a lot of money to still spend on the rest of your roster in other spots. Or you trade down from 4, and even though the draft may not be the strongest, if you get a couple more throws at it, or maybe you even get a pick for next year, right? Let's say you move down in the draft and you get a 1st round pick for next year. So now you're in the better draft, and now you have more shots at all the different needs that you have. So I would be a no on the 4th overall pick, but listen, he's great, so it wouldn't be the worst trade in the world.
And look, maybe it's not Myles Garrett, but how quickly is Mike Vrabel looking to win year one, invest year one, win his way, which I do think aligns with some of these needs we're talking about, the way the Chiefs and Eagles are built. The way they drafted in Tennessee pretty consistently was O-line, D-line. And that's probably Vrabel's core belief when it comes to roster building. It's hard to know. He wasn't in charge of the roster in Tennessee, but that was what they did while he was there. You know, the Jeffrey Simmonses of the world and picks like that. So I think there's going to be an appetite to bring in a game wrecker on defense. It might be Abdul Carter at four. It might be Myles Garrett on the trade market. It might be a free agent, Josh Sweat, or somebody like that. I'd expect a big investment there. And, you know, the closer we get to free agency, the closer we get to the draft, the more open-minded I would be to that, looking at teams like the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And I would just file away. Yep, the fourth overall pick sounds like a blue-chip player. And it might be. It is supposed to be a down draft. And how much are guys like even Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, if they're there at four, where would those guys go in a more typical draft or a deeper draft? Certainly still well in the first half of the first round, probably the top 10. Would they be going one? Would they be going two, three, four? I have questions about that because it does seem overall like a down draft.
I think they'd go fairly high because I think the quarterbacks are an outlier. So this year, so some years there's going to be really good quarterbacks, which would push them down. Like if they were in last year's draft, they're not getting drafted ahead of Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels.
Right. Would they go ahead of Marvin Harrison even? Like I wonder where those guys go in that. Where does Abdul Carter go in last year's draft? Five or six?
Well, yeah, maybe because there's no defensive players in last year's draft. So maybe he would get kind of pulled up there a little bit higher. Travis Hunter's an interesting case just because we've never seen anything really like Travis
Hunter. Maybe he goes above Marvin Harrison. Maybe. I was less in love with Harrison as a prospect, but he was thought of as a can't miss generational type of wide receiver.
But in a draft like this, even though it's a down draft, I mean, those guys would be, they're better prospects, I think, than Shador Sanders or Cam Ward. And so if you're getting them at four, to me, it still has a good amount of value. It's almost like having the number one pick in this year's draft. I wonder if Cleveland would be open to some sort of like pick swap and if that'd be more palpable. So you say, because Cleveland's already picking two. So mm-hmm. you're obviously taking that one. But if you're like, hey, we'll give you the fourth pick, but then we want your second round pick. And then we'll toss in like
something
our second,
like
third.
Okay.
So because then it's like you're still getting some throws at this draft and you're getting some young players that could come in and play right away on top of Myles Garrett. Because, I mean, that is a lot to give up, even in the draft.
So you guys can jump in on this. What lessons can we learn from the Chiefs and the Eagles sitting here in the Super Bowl? Looking at their rosters, I would start O-line and D-line. I mean, you always look at Mahomes, and you look at the quarterbacks. You hopefully have your quarterback now. So how do you fill it in around him? And is Myles Garrett a name they should target? 617-779-7937. We'll give you our Prop-a-palooza bets today. Five props for the Super Bowl coming up at 10:45. We'll do our tiers 11:20. Tom E. Tuesday, Tommy Curran, High Noon, and Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Plus, we mentioned Cooper Kupp. His name, he confirmed Rams are trading him. Should the Patriots be in on a wide receiver like Cooper Kupp? Right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins and Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees wrap up a three-game homestand against the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. The Seas close out their three-game road trip against the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Celtics are on a three-game winning streak while the Cavs have won their last four. Tip-off at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is at 7:30. And men's beanpot action last night. Boston University beat Harvard 7-1, and Boston College defeated Northeastern 8-2. Number one ranked BC will face number eight BU in the Beanpot Final next Monday night at the TD Garden. Major League Baseball has fired umpire Pat Hoberg for sharing illegal sports betting accounts with someone that bet on baseball. Hoberg is also accused of intentionally deleting messages that were key to the investigation. Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp has announced that he has requested a trade. In 12 games last season, Kupp made 67 catches for 710 yards and 6 touchdowns. And this Sunday, the Chiefs face the Eagles in Super Bowl 59. Kickoff is at 6:30. And Westwood One's pregame coverage will begin at 2 right here on 93.7 WEEI FM. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanning. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
He knows his offensive line has been shuffling quite a bit. He's got to catch and release that football with efficiency and speed.
with some speed on that one, and there goes Cooper Kupp to the house. Another strike, and Kupp takes it the distance. 69 yards and a very nice Stafford delivery.
You in on Cooper Kupp?
Oh, hell yeah, I'm in on Cooper Kupp. I love Cooper Kupp. He's maybe the most underrated player in NFL history.
Well, that's...
I think he is.
Feels strong. Well, I understand who I'm talking to.
I am strong in this feeling that I have for Cooper Kupp. That season that he had from a few years ago, I don't think it's talked about enough. He was so good. Uh-huh. And then he capped it off, even had the team success, was the Super Bowl MVP. He had he had the football triple crown. And people sort of dismiss it. Now, he's not...
Okay, we're talking about two different things. You're talking about Cooper Kupp's career versus what he is now, right? Cooper Kupp 3 years ago was really good.
But Cooper Kupp, overall, I would say, is wildly underrated.
Okay.
Can we at least agree on that?
Yeah.
No, right now...
Not by you, but by the general we out there. Yes, the general public underrates Cooper Kupp, sure.
Okay, so but here's the thing. He's not as good as he once was, which is also why he's available. If the Rams were still this, you know... high-flying offense, and they were still great, and he was younger, I don't think they're trying to deal him. So they probably don't want to pay him the next couple of years, but he is somebody that would come in here far and away their best receiver, not even close. Now, hopefully they don't stop there. Nobody thinks they're one wide receiver away from having a great wide receiver room, but if you can add another guy, if you sign T. Higgins, or maybe there's another trade, because he's not going to cost you a first-round pick, a second-round pick. Who knows? He may not even cost you a third-round
pick. I think you're talking day three. I think you're talking because of his salary. You're going to have to take on some of his salary. Maybe the Rams eat some of it. Yeah. And I'll have to look at it all. I think he has like a $7.5 million roster bonus, $8 million roster bonus. It's upwards of $30 million in terms of his salary. But you can rework those things. The Rams can eat some of the salary.
Yep.
I really don't care about the salary, but I think that will... factor into the acquisition cost where you're probably talking a day three pick.
So the Twitch chat is saying he had one good year. Well, he had one amazing year. He had an all-time
spectacular year where he was first team all-pro and he was the Super Bowl MVP. Yes.
But he was also he had one year where he had 1,100 yards on 94 catches and 10 touchdowns, which is a very good wide receiver year.
In fairness, though, to the Twitch chat, he's had 2,000-yard seasons in his career.
But he has also had many more where he was on pace for. This is where it comes into like, all right, the injuries have been a factor. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're not going to have to pay a premium compensation-wise for him. Right? Because the biggest issue I have with him is just how many games he plays. Every time he's out there, he's good. Like, he's a top 10 wide receiver. I think still the issue is how many games he's going to play.
Yeah, for instance, the year after his Triple Crown year, he played 9 games. But he had 75 catches and 812 yards. So, you know, double those numbers just about if it was the pace he was on.
No,
I'm not saying you can count on 16 games out of him plus a playoff run. You can't. But extrapolate the numbers when he plays. That's how dominant he was.
So last year, Patriots fans, we all saw him play against the Patriots. I thought he looked pretty good in that game. But he's also...
Well, everybody looked good against the Patriots.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
That's a good point.
But he was one of them. Mm-hmm. He was one of them. He just also seems like a pro's pro. So Kendrick Bourne, who was his college teammate, you see him making the pitch for him, like, come on in here. He's like, this guy. Like, this team, that position in particular, was so immature, was just getting in their way. Like, they were a mess. On the field, they were bad. Off the field, they might have been worse. And I think one way to clean that up is bring in this guy. So even if he's not 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns, he is somebody that those guys can hopefully learn from. And I think he'd be great for Drake May. Maybe even more important than for Polk and Baker. I think he'd be great for Drake May. He's going to catch everything you throw to him. He's not going to hand the ball to the defense like a lot of guys in the Patriots do. He always keeps his feet in bounds, unlike Jalen Polk in the end zone and things like that. He knows the rules of the game. Now, I'm with you. Durability is an issue. I can't sit here and be like, the guy's as healthy as an ox and he's always going to play. Like, no, that would be an issue. But what a massive upgrade for so many reasons on this team.
Yeah, so injuries have been a concern really the last 3 years, right? His first 3 years, he played 15, 8, 16, 15, 17. So
I think he also
four out of 5 years, he was basically playing the full year to start his career.
And he also...
The last three is 9, 12, 12. That's in 17 game seasons.
It's not great. But yeah, early in his career too, I think it was they didn't really even know what they had in him because he was, what, a third round pick coming out of
Eastern Washington.
Yeah. So... You know, third-round pick's not nothing, but you're certainly not thinking he's like a plug-and-play, and then he just sort of really emerged and was Sean McVay his first year? I think he was drafted Sean McVay's year, right?
2017. I thought I read today he was like Sean McVay's second pick, something like
that.
Oh, yeah.
So he might have been.
That might have been his first draft, second pick.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Yeah, because they were in the Super Bowl in 2018. So Sean McVay's first year, I think, was 17. So he's only played for McVay so far.
So when it comes to Cooper Kupp, I didn't get Patriots fans last year saying, oh, well, why would you trade for Keenan Allen? I'm like, Keenan Allen is a young quarterback's best friend. Not that the Bears worked out brilliantly last year, but that sort of possession receiver, I want for a young quarterback.
Although Keenan Allen looks like he ate Keenan Allen.
He looked larger last year.
I don't know if I want Keenan Allen anymore. I wanted him at the time.
I'm saying I didn't get the crying at the time about the compensation for Keenan Allen. They're like, you're a young rebuilding team. Why would you give up a mid-round pick for a wide receiver in his 30s? Because he's a machine over the middle of the field. He has been for his career. Keenan Allen finished as an absolute monster last year. And so I didn't get not being interested in him. You know, and I think specifically beyond the young quarterback, what makes Josh McDaniels' offense go? We talked about this weeks ago. We were listing all these various names. Who would you want? Which wide receiver would you take? Cooper Kupp, now that McDaniels is here, I have qualms about McDaniels being here. But now that he's here and this is the offense you're running, you need a slot receiver. And Cooper Kupp is more than just that. He's not just a slot receiver. He can line up outside, and he can move around the formation, which I think is another strength of his.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a guy to make it go, and you need a safety blanket for Drake May. So Cooper Kupp is not fixing your offense by himself. But if you're talking about even a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, a mid-round pick for this guy, and all you're talking about is paying his salary, I think he's well worth that investment for this offense.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Then you bring in another piece.
Well, yeah. And so if people are saying, like, no, I don't want Cooper Kupp, and they want, you know, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, D.K. Metcalf, and Travis Hunter, then fine. But, like, I don't think you're getting all four of those guys, three of those guys, two of those guys, maybe even one of those four. I want all those guys, too. But I'm just trying to think of what is realistic. So A.J. Brown might not get traded. T. Higgins might get franchised. DK Metcalf maybe either doesn't get traded or somebody comes in and has a better offer, right? And he goes somewhere else. Maybe Travis Hunter gets picked before you even have a chance. So now there's all these things that might just be out of your control, and you can make a deal for Cooper Kupp. I think you absolutely should.
Yeah, so Cooper Kupp and Travis Hunter. Cooper Kupp and T. Higgins. Like, and that's a big investment at wide receiver. But something like that. Cooper Kupp and a wide receiver, and this is dangerous, Keith. But a wide receiver at 38. I know Wolf hasn't been great at drafting him.
I don't think I want to do that.
Vrabel and Cowden don't have the greatest track record there either. But okay, but something like that. Kupp by himself is not going to fix your wide receiver room. But if it's him and another piece, and Kupp is a minimal investment,
but like your second, third round pick or your fourth round pick, whatever you get there. So basically, you're Javon Baker from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you flip that and get Cooper Kupp for a couple of years, I think it's worth it. Like I don't. You can't pencil him into the lineup for years and years to come. But can he help really ignite Drake May, give that big year two jump?
Yeah.
We talk all the time about all the quarterbacks that were like kind of scuffling, added a big time receiver, and then they kind of launched, and then they're still good even without those receivers. And so Cooper Kupp is not, you know, Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill at this stage of his career, but compared to what you have, he might as well be.
I mean, look, Tom Brady to start his career, if you want to go way back. It's not like they had Troy Brown for, you know, eight more years in his you got Troy Brown, Pro Bowl caliber, for a year or two to start, and then they started to mix in other pieces around it. I don't know why you couldn't do that with Cooper Kupp. Keenan Allen last year in Chicago. And I'd look at Adam Thielen early on with Bryce Young. Like, getting him a receiver like that for a couple of years for a minimal investment, I think is worthwhile. So how do you build this team? Where do you attack in the offseason? Especially looking at the Eagles and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Eagles heavily invested in wide receiver on top of their D-line and their offensive line and the running back position. Really, the Eagles just invested everywhere across their roster. But where would you start, and what lessons can we take away from the Super Bowl? It's where we started today on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We're going to tear off some Super Bowl snacks coming up at 11:20. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at High Noon, Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Plus, I know you were talking about this in the crossover. With Luka Doncic traded in the NBA, both you and I have compiled our untradeable players, not just in basketball.
No.
But in all professional sports. We've compiled a list of the untradeable players throughout sports. We'll give you our list on that coming up at 11. Plus, every day at 10:45 this week, leading up to Super Bowl 59, we're giving you five Super Bowl props.
Ooh.
We're calling it Prop-a-Palooza.
Oh, yeah, some good ones today.
Let's make our picks next.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Patriots need to retool this offseason, as we know. We discussed Myles Garrett, Cooper Kupp, other ways to rebuild this team, looking at the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. I don't think Kupp is going to cost you much. Third or fourth round pick. I think he'd be ideal for the McDaniels offense. Keith loves him even more than me. I mean, Keith might be Cooper Kupp's biggest fan.
I have to get a jersey.
Drafted
I'm about
him
to break my rule.
Drafted him in fantasy, wants him here.
Yeah.
So I knew Keith would be on board. How do you turn this thing around? We'll continue to discuss it all day long. We'll also get into the untradeable players in sports, not just the NBA, because Luka was pretty close to one of them.
I thought he was. I still think he is.
Well, he's obviously not.
Well, no. For one moron GM who probably will get fired soon. The stories coming out of there are wild.
Not
so
great.
Now you are starting to get the, not necessarily what other teams would have traded for Luka, but the how the hell did we not know about this? Mm-hmm. Like, we would have offered you something. It's certainly better than that. I don't know what my favorite detail is. It might be the fact that it's not even the best Laker deal possible. They could
like
have gotten much more from the Lakers.
Basically,
and they were like, nah.
Basically, the deal started with Connect.
Yes.
Who's been
a
great rookie for L.A. this year. And an additional pick, at least an additional pick.
So two firsts, Dalton Kennect and Anthony Davis, and then they're like, no, keep one of those firsts and keep the better young player.
They're like, yeah, but Luka's pretty chunky, yeah. So let's take that out of the deal. And Nico Harrison's like, yeah.
Well, this is worse than, so everybody's still, I'm sure, outside of Boston is like, I can't believe Kevin McHale just gave Danny Ainge, his former teammate and friend, Kevin Garnett. Well, it turns out Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, and this guy Nico Harrison are also really good friends.
Pelinka
just pantsed him.
Pelinka was an agent. Harrison was at Nike.
Yep.
We'll get more into that trade and who the untradeable players are, not just in the NBA, but throughout sports. How many of them are from Boston? Maybe one prominent one. We can get to that coming up. But every day at 10:45 this week leading up to the Super Bowl, we're giving you five prop bets for the Super Bowl. We're calling it Prop-a-palooza. We gave you five yesterday. We'll give you five more today. Where are we starting today, Keith?
All right, will Patrick Mahomes throw an interception? So over under half an interception is what we'll put this down as.
I'm going to say yes. Eagles have a good defense.
Yep.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to be playing from behind, which would make me feel even better about this. But he's been loose of the football this year, at least in the first half of this year he was. Eagles are a good defense. I'll say he throws a pick.
I think so, too. Yeah, he could still have a great game. He could still even go down as the Super Bowl MVP. You know, you throw two or three touchdowns. You happen to throw one pick. You're being aggressive. Philly's got your guy, Cooper DeJean, back there. Maybe he makes a play.
He probably will.
Nice little corner. So
it'll be super annoying when he does, but yeah.
I'll say interception from Mahomes. Billy?
I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I'm saying he throws one, and it's called back.
Now that's brilliant.
That's my pick.
That's going to be so frustrating.
That is definitely true.
He throws one. We all kick and scream
about the ref. No, flag on the field.
Good call.
Flag on the field.
So Billy has the under.
Smart.
The refs pick up the flag. Brilliant.
All right. I'm also going the under, but basically for the reasons Jones said, he turned the ball all the time. During the beginning of the season, hasn't done it much since, so I'm going under.
All right.
Means some would say he's due.
I would think so.
Some would say that.
Uh-huh. All right, what about another quarterback prop? Jalen Hurts rushing yards over under 39.5.
Yeah.
That's roughly 39 tush pushes.
I'm going under that number as well. And I could see this one going either way. Again, I expect the Chiefs to be playing from in front. I expect the Eagles to be in scramble mode a little bit, meaning catch up. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of running for Philadelphia. I guess Hurts could scramble more. I feel like he's not a huge scrambler. I feel like he's more of a designed runner.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to do that if they're behind, so I'll take the under on 39.5.
So even if they are behind, I feel like it's shotgun, it's Saquon Barkley's on the bench, and if everybody's covered downfield, he's going to run. Plus, you throw in five tush pushes, that's 10 yards easy. Then he only needs 20 yards of scamper. So I'll take the over on Hurts rush yards.
I'm going to say under because that's way too many tush pushes.
That's a lot of tush pushes.
They
might break the record
for
tush pushes.
That would be a Super Bowl record for tush pushes. That's true.
And just tush push all the way down the field?
Yeah.
Why not, honestly? Don't you think they could average 3 yards a tush push? No.
No. Against Spagnuolo, we just saw it. They just stopped it.
Oh, good point, Spagnuolo. Well, no, they didn't. They stopped Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He doesn't get – there's no push there. That's just Josh Allen sneaks.
Josh Allen normally gets more than a yard. He couldn't even get the yard last
week. These guys, they're picking him up. They're throwing him. They got a better – the offensive line's better for Philly than Buffalo.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going under. Josh Allen, he runs a lot, and Spags stopped him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's going to get away from Chris Jones and the Chiefs.
He might get this on one carry.
I mean, he could.
He did last week.
No, he did a divisional round, I think. He ripped off like a 40-yard touchdown to start it. This could be dead after one carry.
All right, here's one. This will get the people talking. How many times will Taylor Swift be shown on television? And for this bet, it's from kickoff to final horn. So, like, if you get the pregame, like, here she's walking in, like, that doesn't count. It needs to be during the actual game broadcast. 6.5.
7!
Yeah. Over under 6.5 Taylor Swift appearances.
That's a lot of, and I think Kelsey's going to have a good game. He took the over on his yards yesterday. That's still a lot. I'll take the under on 6.5.
What? Taylor Swift?
I'm going to take the over. I feel like the cameras can't get enough of her. I think Kelsey's going to be.
Do you know what the number was last year?
Oh, how many times they showed her? I don't know.
Because Kelsey had a monster Super Bowl. How many times did they show her last year? I'll get you the answer on that.
I mean, does Travis Kelsey have. We did receiving yards yesterday for Kelsey. But if he has 7 catches, it's going to hit the over. If he has 5, they show her.
Taylor Swift last year was shown for a total of 55 seconds, 11 total times they showed her.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Smash the over.
Yeah,
smash the over.
Am I allowed to change? I'm locked in.
You're locked in on.
This is why research is important.
You're locked in on under because I feel like what they've done now is even in the games where Kelsey doesn't do well, they'll show her for like a good Chiefs play. They're like, oh, look at this.
11 times they showed her.
Yeah. Holy Some would
crap.
Say not enough.
Wow.
Some would say not enough.
Okay. So you have the over. She's the solution is what she is. She's not a problem.
Yeah, if it's whistle to whistle, I'm taking the under.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying there's going to be a lot of pregame stuff. Then there's going to be a postgame proposal.
Even so with the data.
Postgame proposal. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, props. Sorry. Yeah, I'll take the under.
Okay,
I'll take the over. I feel like they're going to try and get Tom Brady to talk about her because this first time he's probably doing a game with her in attendance. So I feel like they're really going
to
lean into
they
that.
They cut to him and he's just silent. He doesn't say anything.
Like he's good at not talking.
That's a good point. Okay, so you and Kiefer over. Yep. Me and Bill are under. What's next?
All right, Chris Jones. Does he record a full sack? Or so I guess another way, over under half a sack for Chris Jones.
So this is a stupid question. What if he gets a half?
It's a push.
Then we push.
That'd be a tush push.
I'll take the over on that. I do think even if it's a broken play and Jalen Hurts is kind of scrambling around, I can see Chris Jones wrangling him. I'll take the over on a half.
I'm going to go under on this. Really good offensive line for Philly. I think Hurts is elusive enough that he will avoid the great Chris Jones. I'll take under half a sack.
I'm going to take the over. I'm predicting 2 half sacks.
Nice. Get him a couple
of hands. Get a little hand on him there.
Billy's had some good bonus predictions on this. I like this.
Those are true. We'll follow those as well. Nick?
I'm going over. I feel like Jalen Hurts gets sacked all the time in big spots, so give me the over.
Okay.
Fair enough. Last one, going back to Taylor Swift for this one. What will happen first in the game? A touchdown for either team or Taylor Swift shown on TV?
So that one's Taylor Swift, I think. I'm going that one's Taylor Swift. I think a big play happens from Kelsey before there's a touchdown for either side. Or maybe they just shoehorn it in.
Kelsey's not even a big play, just gets on the field or something.
Even if he's just like, you know, hooting and hollering when Patrick Mahomes wears off like a 35-yard
The only
carry.
Chance this doesn't happen is if...
Opening kick.
The opening kick or the Eagles get the ball, marks the field, score. You don't see it, but I'll take Swift for this one.
Yeah, Taylor Swift feels like the right bet. Billy?
Yeah, I'm going with Taylor Swift before a touchdown.
Okay.
I guess we're all going Taylor Swift before the touchdown.
Okay, well, that was a pointless bet. We're all on the same side of that, so that's a wash. We haven't had many of those, though, where it's a clean sweep across the board. I think the Kelsey over, we were a clean sweep yesterday.
Yeah, so we're 10 bets in. Kelsey over 59.5 yards is unanimous, and...
Will they show Taylor first? I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Follow along. We'll make sure to put a graphic together. We'll get this out by the end of the week at Jones and Keefe, Propapalooza. Every day, 10:45. You can make those bets with us or, maybe avoid them all together. We'll get to the untradeable players in sports. We thought Luka was one of those players. Who are they in the NBA? Who are they throughout all professional sports? And how many guys from Boston are on that list? That's next.